It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. It's Tuesday, June 28th, 2022. On our ship schedule today, we have 4 inbound vessels, we have 7 outbounders, and we have 2 vessels anchored in the river near Astoria. In our marine weather forecast, we have a small craft advisory in effect through this morning. Today we can expect southwest winds 15 to 20 knots, gusting to 25. They'll be easing a bit to 10 to 15 and gusting to 20 in the afternoon, so the winds are going to ramp down a little bit. Wind waves from the southwest 4 feet high at 5 seconds apart, northwest swells 2 feet at 7 seconds, brief rain or patchy drizzle in the morning. And today we're going to be talking about a very famous place right here at the mouth of the river called the Columbia River Bar. You've heard a lot about it, I'm sure. I want to talk a little bit about some of the things that make it so problematic and why timing is really essential for people who are transiting this part of the river. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But first, a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. First inbound is a fish processor called the Frosty. She's been coming to Astoria for years. She's arriving from Port Angeles, headed for the Port of Astoria, probably going to Bornstein Seafoods. She'll be there by about 7:30 a.m. Next inbound is a bulk carrier, the ETG Aquarius, arriving from Japan, headed for the Astoria anchorage. She'll be heading up to Kalama eventually to pick up corn, soy, or wheat, and she'll be in the anchorage by about 1:30 p.m. The La Bamba is arriving from China, headed for the Vancouver, Washington anchorage. I think she could be coming in with wind energy equipment on board. So if you see big, long, tapered white objects on deck, or just big white objects, period, they're parts of wind turbines that will be taken off those ships and trucked inland to wind farms here in the Pacific Northwest. She will probably pass Astoria around 6:30 p.m. and be in Vancouver a bit after midnight, so early tomorrow morning. And the Argent Aster is arriving from Japan, headed for Kalama. She's a tanker, and she will pass Astoria around 11 p.m. and be in Kalama by about 4 p.m. today. And if you would like to see the rest of the Columbia River ship schedule for the day, you can find it online on my website at shipreport.net, along with a podcast of this program and lots of other information that I hope you enjoy. Well, today I'd like to talk with you about one of the most notorious and famous places in our whole area, and that is the Columbia River Bar. The bar is the area at the mouth of the Columbia River where the river meets the ocean. Bars, short for sandbars here, are areas that are shallower than nearby water. In this case, the Columbia River Bar is much shallower than the ocean outside the river. We have a short continental shelf here, extending out into the ocean only about 20 miles offshore, compared to about 75 miles on the east coast. So ocean swells quickly go from hundreds of feet in depth to about 55 feet, which is about the depth of the ship channel at the mouth of the river. That can cause big waves to pile up in the mouth of the river at times, breaking surf like on the beach, but in the ship channel. This can be dangerous for vessels. The Columbia River Bar has a bunch of factors that make it unique and problematic for mariners, and particularly for boaters. I'm talking about relatively small boats. During ebb current times, the entire force of the river, plus the falling tidal or ebbing current, slam into the Pacific Ocean at the mouth of the river. It's like the entire river just slams into a big wall of water, figuratively speaking. This can cause really dangerous and unpredictable conditions to evolve in a matter of minutes once the ebb gets going. And about halfway through the tidal cycle of the tide falling, so about 3 to 4 hours after high tide, the ebb tide reaches what's called the max ebb, when the current is flowing the fastest in the river and, of course, at the mouth of the river. Then it slows down slowly and the tide turns and the water in the river itself begins to reverse itself and flow backwards. This takes about 1.5 hours past the very lowest part of low tide. Then the river flows upstream with the rising flood tide until it reaches high tide and then begins to fall again. So this tidal rhythm, this pattern, is one that experienced mariners watch closely. If you are entering the river from outside in the ocean, you generally avoid the ebb and come into the river at slack water. That's the time between tides, and you do this on a rising tide coming into the river as the river starts to turn. If you think about it, this is using the current and the tide to your advantage so you can go with it, since going against it can be a losing battle in a small boat. This is a general rule of thumb, and recreational boaters should respect it. Experienced fishermen in boats who regularly go in and out of the river, they know what their boats can handle, and ships come and go at will regardless of the tide, unless the weather is very bad. So there are always experienced professionals out there who know what they're doing and may not always follow these rules exactly. But for us recreational sailors or power boaters who are not on the river every day, planning well and respecting tides is a really good idea. So you should know what the tide is doing so you can time your trip so conditions are in your favor. One tool you have for that with respect to the mouth of the river is the Columbia River Bar Forecast. You can easily look it up online. If you're in your boat, you can listen for it on your marine radio, and you can hail the U.S. Coast Guard from offshore and ask for it. It has really valuable information for people wanting to transit that specific area. And by transit, I mean this means people entering the river from the ocean or heading out into the ocean from the river. Here's the Columbia River Bar forecast for yesterday evening into today. Let's take a look at it so you understand what's in it if you ever go and read one or hear one. It says Columbia River Bar forecast, and I'm reading what I found online. It starts out with, in the main channel. This refers to the deep ship channel at the mouth of the river. On either side of the ship channel, in the shallows of Peacock Spit to the north by Cape Disappointment or Clatsop Spit to the south by Fort Stevens, those areas are shallower and can have higher seas and are prone to sneaker waves on the ebb. You want to stay away from those shallows because they can be treacherous with sneaker waves, breaking waves, and eddies that can swamp your boat. Next in the forecast, it says general seas, 3 to 5 feet through Tuesday. That describes the overall sea state at the mouth of the river. Then the forecast contains information about the timing of the max ebb currents, about halfway through the tidal cycle as the tide is falling. This is the water that can pull buoys under because the current is so strong. So it's worth paying attention to and staying away from the bar area at these times. So the forecast says the first ebb around 4:45 p.m. Monday, seas to 5 feet. The second ebb, a strong ebb around 5 a.m. Tuesday, seas to 6 feet. And the third ebb around 5:30 p.m. Tuesday, seas to 5 feet. So experienced mariners looking at this forecast, they really know which times essentially to avoid, the strong ebbs when their boat could be in trouble on the bar. So this gives you an idea of the cyclical nature of things. It's a reflection of that. Tides give us a really powerful and visible indicator of the power of the natural world. It's best if we give that world great respect at all times, and here, in fact, the river demands it. You've been listening to The Ship Report, a show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.